What's up, KD Time friends? Welcome back to another episode of KD Time, that sometimes weekly but mostly timely podcast. That's right, it's mostly timely. Sometimes it comes, sometimes it doesn't. But that weekly podcast that typically talks about sports, movies, TV shows, food, general nostalgia, everything from A to Z, and that is real. Anyhow, so welcome back. So, on this episode, we, and when I say we, I really just mean me because it's me alone. I will be talking about the Christmas traditions from around the world. And I'm really excited about it because there's a lot to learn, there's a lot to acknowledge in the fact that, yeah, Christmas is celebrated everywhere. So, why not learn about the different traditions that are all over the place? What are some of your traditions? How about you reach out to me and put that in my Instagram or something and let me know what your favorite traditions are as we learn about the ones around the world. All right, it's coming up right now. Anyhow, yeah, so there are a lot of Christmas traditions from around the world. Some unique ones are like very cool and they may surprise you, okay? So, if you're a Christmas loving person, if you like all of the different aspects of Christmas, the Christmas tree, or baking holiday cookies, opening up Christmas presents. I mean, who doesn't love opening up Christmas presents, am I right? And then you could watch some Christmas movies like Hallmark movies or Lifetime movies or Great American Family movies. You could watch Christmas movies that were made on Freevee or Christmas movies that were made on Netflix and Hulu and yada, yada, yada. There's a plethora of Christmas movies. You can keep up the tradition of putting the elf on the shelf. I've never done that. My mom never done that, so I don't really know the pain that maybe some kids have suffered over the years of seeing a weird elf show up around Christmas time to keep an eye on you, to say, if you don't behave, then this elf is gonna tell Santa that you were naughty. I mean, I get it because it makes sense to like keep children in line. You want to say something like, oh, there's an elf that's paying attention to you, so make sure you behave yourself. But I never had to do that. The way that I was told to behave myself was very simple. I got a spanking. So that was what I had to do in order to behave myself. But there's plenty of traditions to go around. Now, did you ever take the time to think about the traditions in other countries? Once you learn about what happens in other countries, you may want to start some of those traditions in your own home. It's not necessary, but it's not necessary. You could always do something and have it in your home. Like, for me, in my home, I do the Christmas tree, I do the presents, I watch the movies, I like to bake cookies. It doesn't necessarily have to be holiday cookies, but I like to bake cookies because I just like cookies. I like any American, I like to go see the big tree at Rockefeller Center. So, that I'd like to go see the tree. It's not like I don't go and see the tree when on that, before, like right after Thanksgiving when they light it up. I typically go when it's less crowded and not crazy out there. Okay. But yeah, I like to go see the tree at the Rockefeller Center, and I like to go around and go to people's neighborhoods and look at what they have that's lit up in their neighborhoods. You know, some people go crazy. They have like the entire house is covered in lights. I'm like, could you imagine the electric bill? Oh my word. But you know, it's something you do. Like in Diker Heights, people come from all over to go to Brooklyn, New York, in Diker Heights and look at the different big ass houses that have lighting on them. I mean, you don't necessarily have to go to Diker Heights to see some lights, but it's one of the very few things I remember doing while I was a kid. I would just go out to different areas and look at Christmas lights and see what people have presented to the neighborhood, to the masses, right? So, anyway, let's talk about some of the Christmas traditions that are around the world. We'll start off with Sweden, right? So, Sweden, there's a Yule goat, and it's been a Christmas, a Swedish Christmas symbol dating back to ancient pagan festivals. So it definitely looks like a goat in the picture. You know, you could look it up yourself. However, in 1996, the tradition got a whole new life after someone came up with the idea to make a giant straw goat, now referred to as a galvagoat. Galvagoat. Okay. And, I might not have pronounced that correctly, but according to the official website, the goat is more than 42 feet high, 23 feet wide, and weighs 3.6 tons. That's a lot of straw. I gave it all my gave it my last straw. Anyhow. Yeah, so each year the massive goat is constructed in the same spot, and people from all over get to come and look at this massive goat that has the lights in its horns, and it's available to be seen from the first Sunday of Advent until after the new year when it's taken down. I wonder how they take it down. Do they just like chop it up because it's straw? I don't know. Anyway. Next up, we have the Philippines. If you thought the United States went all out with Christmas decorations, you should see what the Philippines do. The Philippines, apparently, they go all out with their Christmas decorations. I mean, every year, the city of San Fernando holds a giant lantern festival, and I really like lantern festivals. One year for Christmas, not for Christmas, I'm sorry, one year for my birthday, I went to a lantern festival type thing, I think in Staten Island. It was actually pretty decent and fun. I definitely took some pictures, and it was like this nice little outing that me and my friends got to do before I did a get together at my house. I thought it was cool. I mean, you know, there's something about lights and just being surrounded by that warmth, that warming feeling. So yeah, in the Philippines, the lights they have the giant lantern festival. It features dazzling lanterns that symbolize the Star of Bethlehem. You know, each lantern consists of thousands of spinning lights that illuminate the night sky. The festival has made San Fernando the Christmas capital of the Philippines. So, you know, if you ever go to the Philippines for Christmas, I suggest that you go and see that giant lantern festival because it sounds like fun. Which reminds me, you know, I've been to Peru where they have this area for lights and everything, but we didn't go around Christmas. Like I went with my best friend Jude, and we went to visit her family, her brother and his wife and their first child because they only had one at the time. And we went to go see some lights in Peru, which was really nice. And it was nice. It was like really warm out too, but it had nothing to do with Christmas, but it felt Christmassy. Like All the lights felt like it reminded me of Christmas, which was nice. Anyhow, moving on. Next up we have Japan. Although Christmas isn't a national holiday in Japan, an estimated 1% of the population is Christian, according to the Smithsonian Magazine. So, its citizens still find an interesting and delicious way to celebrate. So, you'll never guess how they choose to celebrate in Japan around Christmas. So, typically in America, in the US, we have a Christmas ham. Some people might eat turkey, some, like, if you're a Caribbean, you probably have some Jamaican food or Trinidadian food or whatever island you're from, you'll have that food. But some Americans might just have KFC, right? Kentucky Fried Chicken. And that is exactly what they have in Japan. Yes. So rather than gathering around the table for a turkey dinner, families head out to their local Kentucky Fried Chicken restaurant. Isn't that wild? Who thinks Kentucky Fried Chicken when it comes to Christmas? I don't think of it. I think of ham. I think of cheese, and I think of I think of Thanksgiving dinner, but Christmas style. That's what I think of. So anyway, the tradition in Japan began in 1974 after a wildly successful marketing campaign called Kentucky for Christmas. And I cannot pronounce what it really is called, so I'm not going to try and not going to attempt to disrespect Japan like that. So I'm just going to use the English version, which is Kentucky for Christmas. And the fast food chain has maintained its Yuletide popularity, causing some people to order their boxes months in advance or stand in a 2 hour long line to get their finger licking good food. I can't even imagine, like, how is Kentucky Fried Chicken so popular around Christmas in Japan? It's so interesting, but it is what it is. So if you're in Japan for Christmas and you see people gathering, or you see a line that's forming, it's most likely gonna be for Kentucky Fried Chicken. So get your finger looking good food. Moving on, Iceland. Iceland is next on the list. So with Iceland, similar to like the 12 days of Christmas in the US, Iceland actually celebrates 13 each night before Christmas. So Icelandic children are visited by the 13 Yule lads after placing their shoes by the window. The little ones will head upstairs to bed. In the morning, they'll either have received candy, of course, if they're good, or they'll be greeted with shoes full of rotten potatoes if they're bad. And you thought coal was a terrible, terrible gift. I mean, coal, at least with coal, right? You can make something of it. You can use it you can use it to m make things. And but you can't make nothing with rotten potatoes. Rotten potatoes are just bad. It's very interesting that they get rotten potatoes if they're bad. Like, hey, you, shame on you. Here's a rotten potato. Rotten potatoes actually smell bad as well, and I'm sure they would taste very disgusting. So. That's probably a very terrible gift. Moving on. Finland. Finland. The Finnish people, okay? On Christmas morning, Finnish families traditionally eat a porridge made of rice and milk topped with cinnamon, milk, or butter. Okay? I like to eat porridge too. Sometimes on Christmas morning, my mom would make some porridge or some cornmeal or some cream of wheat. Yeah, those are good times. Very good, very good. Anyhow, so yeah, the Finnish families, they traditionally eat porridge made with rice and milk. They typically would eat these meals, and whoever found the almond that was placed inside one of the puddings wins. So it's kind of like the tradition of finding a pickle on the tree, but instead it's a little almond that's in the food, and whoever finds it wins. And of course some families cheat and hide a few almonds so that the kids don't get upset, and it's like, oh, how many almonds are you gonna get, really? But at the end of the day, it is customary to warm up in a sauna together. So the Finnish folks, they just like they enjoy their porridge, they enjoy their meal, their pudding, and they find their almonds, and then they typically go and warm up in a nice sauna. That sounds like a lovely idea, a nice sauna. Next, we have New Zealand. Because summer falls during Christmas time for Kiwis, a number of their traditions center around a Barbie or a grill. So, they'll go out fishing and enjoy some cookouts, So families and friends, they gather for a casual cookout of fresh seafood, meat, and seasonal vegetables. The New Zealand Christmas tree is a pua tukawa, a coastal species that blooms a bright red color in December, which is really nice. It's a really pretty tree, and it provides shade during the sunny days as they sing carols in both English and Maori. So that's the English tradition. It's very nice, very simple, very chill. You know what I mean? Moving on, we have Denmark. I want to go to Denmark one day. That sounds like a nice place to go. Anyhow, so in Denmark, before Christianity came to the Danes, Christmas Day was a celebration of brighter days, Joel. So as it occurred just before winter solstice today, homes are decorated with superstitious characters called the Nisser, who are believed to provide protection. On the evening of December 25th, Danish families place their Christmas tree in the middle of the room and dance around it while singing carols. So Denmark sounds like they're trying to protect themselves from the big bad Grinch, to be honest with you. That's what they sound like they're doing, because it's more so like, I don't even know. It's like they're pushing their tree to the middle of the room to dance and sing. That sounds like Whoville to me, but I still would like to go to Denmark. That'd be pretty fun. In the French Caribbean island of Martinique, there's this long-standing tradition where families visit their neighbors during Advent and on New Year's Day, bearing holiday food like yams, boudin creole, pate sauce, and pork stew. They sing Christmas carols together into the early hours of the morning, adding their own creole verses to traditional lyrics. So that's a typical tradition in Martinique. For a lot of these, they really like to sing Christmas carols, and I would love to hear some Christmas carols from around the world. I mean, I like dashing through the snow as much as the next girl, but if I could enjoy some twists on some different traditional music, then that'd be cool too. I think that'd be really educational, wouldn't you agree? Next up, we have Norway. In Norway, the Christmas season is called Julbord or Huleborg, I don't know. And it begins December 3rd, so that was, a couple days ago from when I'm recording this. And it's filling up local bars and restaurants throughout the month. Families celebrate Little Christmas on December 23rd. And each of their own rich they have their own ritual for the day that may include decorating the tree, making a gingerbread house, that's another tradition that some most Americans do, and eating hot rice pudding. I don't know what the deal is with hot rice pudding and why it's so effective to people, but I mean, pudding is pudding, I guess, so it is what it is. And so that's something that you could take with you, take that to the bank. So Ireland is up next, and the Irish, good old Ireland, the Irish leave a tall red candle in a front window overnight, a welcoming symbol of warmth and shelter for the holiday season. That's typical in American tradition too. If you drive through and you see some candles in the windows, typically they're mostly white. Sometimes they are real, sometimes they're fake. I don't think people put a lot of real candles in their windows anymore, but yeah, that's a tradition that Americans do as well. You'll see some lights in the windows, and it looks really nice. I like the way that it looks when you have all of the Christmas decorations, and then you have the little candles in the windows. It does also feel like warmth and shelter for the holiday season. But in Ireland, traditional Christmas fare in Ireland often includes homemade roast goose, vegetables, cranberries, and potatoes. I mean, I feel like Ireland has the best potatoes. No disrespect to Idaho. But if you're gonna if we're gonna you know a spade's a spade. Irish has some really good potatoes. So, anyhow, moving on, we have Barbados. And so a Christmas table in Barbados isn't complete without a baked ham decorated with pineapple and sorrel glazes, a rum cake, and a jug jug. All right, a dish inspired by the Scottish influence on the island, combining pigeon peas, guinea corn flour, herbs, and salt meat. I know that might sound interesting if you've never heard of what salt meat is, but it's a very delicious dish, okay? If you've never been to the Barbados, if you don't have any Bajan friends or Barbadian friends, I suggest you get some so that you can learn some of their traditions. Okay? But like I said, ham is definitely something that's more Christmassy compared to turkey. Not a lot of families like turkey on Christmas. They're more like, "Oh, let me get the ham," And I think that has a lot to do with like just tradition in general. Like ham is a Christmas meal, turkey's a Thanksgiving meal. You don't see any pig parading up and down 34th Street during the Macy's Day Parade. Ain't no pigs out there. It's all turkeys. So, you eat all the turkeys for Thanksgiving and you eat all the pigs for Christmas. That sounds bad, but that's what happens, okay? Don't get mad. Don't get mad at the messenger. I'm just saying. I'm just saying, you know what I mean? All right. Next is Poland, the Polish. On Christmas Eve in Poland, many families share an unleavened religious wafer. And each person breaks off a piece of that. Not Kit Kat bar. I was gonna say it, and then I was like, no, I'm not gonna say it, and then I said it anyway. Each person breaking off a piece as they wish each other Merry Christmas. So you take some of that religious wafer and you wish another person a Merry Christmas. Dinner may not begin until the first star appears in the night sky, and traditionally, an extra setting is left at the table should someone show up uninvited. So the Polish are very, very like, let's make sure, like, if there's 10, if 10 people is coming to your dinner, you got 10 people, you got 10 place settings, and then you have that 11th place setting just in case, because some people do show up, or your family member who you thought was single all of a sudden shows up with their mate, and you're just like, oh, well, it's a good thing I already have a place for you, so it's not awkward, and we have to go run and grab a place setting and a chair for the table because I was prepared for that. Now, do they also set up additional extra place settings? Because what if two people bring two people? You know what I mean? So it still gets awkward. But as far as I can tell, they at least set up one extra for an uninvited guest. And if you're uninvited, why would you go? No, I'm kidding. Definitely go. Enjoy. I mean, why not, right? Why not? All right, moving on. The Netherlands. The Netherlands. I was waiting to get to the Netherlands. So, in the Netherlands, there's Sinterklaas. Sinterklaas is the Dutch name for Saint Nicholas, okay? The man recognized by children with his long white beard, red cape, and red mitre. I've heard of Santa Claus. I don't really follow Santa Claus or Santa Claus. It doesn't really matter. But I learned about Santa Claus through friends, and I was just like, oh, this is an interesting tradition. So here I am talking to you about it. So yeah, kids put a shoe by the chimney or back door or wherever, and when they put, like, as their shoe sits there, when they wake up on Christmas morning, they find treats like gingerbread men or marzipan or chocolate letters inside or candy or, little toys or something. It's very cute. It's like, it's personal because it doesn't, you don't have to like write your name. Like, our Santa Claus doesn't have to write a name because he's putting it in a shoe that's specific to you. So if you have a shoe, which most people do, and you put it by the back door, and you go and you look in your shoe on Christmas morning and you see a little some treats, those are specific for you. You don't have to go and guess, like, oh, was this meant for X, Y, and Z because, the name's on it. No, it's your shoe, it's your gift. So yeah, if you celebrate Christmas this way, where you put gifts in shoes, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. All right, next we have Portugal and Brazil. It's a combination here. The Brazilian and Portuguese families come together on Christmas Eve to eat dinner as late as 10 p.m. Then at exactly midnight, so at the strike of 12, all were a mutter. I'm kidding, I'm kidding. They exchange gifts, toasts, and wish each other a Merry Christmas. And that's really nice because, like, because waiting until Christmas Day and the Christmas morning, like when I was a kid, I was up early. My mom had to tell me to stay in my room on Christmas morning. She'd be like, "Don't go downstairs. Stay in your room until I say it's time to come. I'll tell you when it's time to come." Okay, it's time to come. But this tradition sounds really nice because you could wait up until midnight and you get to exchange some gifts then. Because technically, right, you don't have to wait until 8 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning to celebrate Christmas. You could celebrate Christmas at midnight. So that is what the Portuguese and the Brazilians do. The families, they eat dinner and then they stay up late to open gifts and say their toast and say their best wishes of Merry Christmas. And some go to a midnight mass, so a Missa de Galo, no, do Galo, it's a rooster mass where basically at midnight you're in church. I've done that. I've gone to church at 10 p.m. on Christmas Eve, and then we prayed our way into the holiday. We prayed our way into Christmas. We did it for Christmas, and we also did it for New Year's too. So like I'd be in church for those events. But yeah, for the Portuguese and for the Brazilians, midnight mass is a chance to meet up with neighbors and extended family to wish them well for the holiday season. The service is often followed by fireworks in the town square, and that way you could you it's well known that it now it's Christmas morning. Right, or Christmas Day. All right, in Austria. Ooh, Austria. So, in Austria, the Alpine countries like Austria have a legend that a devil-like creature called Krampus joins their Saint Nicholas festivities on December 6th. Okay, children are asked for a list of their good and bad deeds. Good children are rewarded with sweets, apples, nuts, and bad children worry that Krampus might bring what Krampus might bring on Christmas morning. I remember there was a movie that came out not too long ago, maybe a few years ago, that was like called Krampus, and I was just like, what is that? Like, I didn't know anything about it. I'm in my adult years and I'm like, I've never heard of this. What is Krampus? I did not watch that movie because the trailer enough was just like, nope, no thank you. But it's very interesting that that Austria and some Alpine countries use this as a way to sort of keep children in line. Like, oh, Krampus is gonna get you. He's gonna give you something terrible. I don't know if it's gonna be anything as terrible as rotten potatoes, but it sounds pretty bad. So, if you're in Austria or any of the Alpine countries for Christmas, I suggest you be on your best behavior. Okay, so you can get some sweets, some apples, and some nuts, and not anything crazy from the Krampus creature. Okay, moving on, South Africa. While the traditions around South Africa vary from region and culture, most families come together for a cookout. And so they marinate some steaks and some sausages, and they serve it as a main course, okay, followed by a customary dessert of malva pudding, and that's served with a custard. Traditional for Christmas trees are decorated with a variety of baubles and included hand beaded African ornaments, which sound fantastic. I would love a hand beaded African ornament. Okay, I don't want to go to South Africa to do that, but I would love it. I would like to go to South Africa on a different basis. Like, I don't want to just go there and get an ornament, you know what I mean? I want to go there and enjoy the space, enjoy the atmosphere. But I think a hand beaded African ornament sounds awesome. Moving on, Ukraine. Now, I know Ukraine was dealing with a lot, and we kind of like shifted our focus from Ukraine to what's going on with Israel and the Palestinians. But don't let that distract you. Ukraine is still going through it as well. Hopefully they get to enjoy some semblance of a good Christmas this year. I'm not really sure. I don't I'd stay away from the news a lot, so like everything I hear is mostly through social media. Anyhow, so Ukraine, typically their Orthodox Christians make up nearly 49% of the Ukraine's population. They observe Christmas Day on January 7th by dressing in traditional garments and walking through town singing carols. A dish called kutia, made of cooked wheat mixed with honey, ground poppy seeds, and sometimes nuts, is a popular Christmas Eve treat. Some families throw a spoonful of it at the ceiling. If it sticks, there will be a good harvest in the new year. So I'm wondering if they did that, and they got a if they do that, they definitely get a good harvest. So I'm like, if I get this here spoonful of kutia and toss it up to the ceiling, would that give me good harvest? I don't really harvest anything, but maybe it could be like a used as a metaphor or something, you know what I mean? Like, it'll give me I don't know. I don't know. I can't even think about it. Anyhow, moving on. Mexico. All across Mexico, members of the church put on the shepherd's plays. So it's basically pastorelas, okay? And they read to retell the Christmas story. They tell the story through this way. The Mexican Christmas season begins early in December, so it's already begun, right? With Las Posadas, a religious march that reenacts the journey of Mary and Joseph. Okay, the vibrant red poinsettia flowers are used in holiday arrangements for decoration throughout the country. Okay, so they go hard for Christmas. They'll come out with a Joseph and Mary costume and parade the streets to tell the story of the birth of Jesus, which is fantastic. Next, we have Switzerland, which is, that neutral country over there. Swiss families make their own advent calendars, which is, I like a good advent calendar. You get something different every time you open up a gift every day. So anyhow, Swiss families make their own every holiday season, and these calendars are given to children as a surprise or made together as a fun activity. Each day, bags reveal a new surprise or treat, with the biggest gift on Christmas Eve. So that makes sense. You have you have to have a bunch of different gifts. There's 24 days before Christmas Day, so that's a lot of gifts, okay? And imagine if you have multiple children, like my best friend, she's one of eight, right? And to think her parents would do an Advent kind of thing for each of their children, that's a lot of gifts. 24 times eight, oh my goodness, that's a lot. But at the same time, if it's something simple, like, oh, there's a candy in one box this day, there's a nice little letter in this one, there's a little keychain in one, I think that would be doable. It's just a lot to have to make sure that each child had something to open up every day. Anyhow, moving on. Moving on to the last country, El Salvador. Okay, Central American countries like El Salvador toast Christmas with fireworks displays on December 24th and December 25th. Children celebrate with smaller firecrackers called little volcanoes and little stars. Okay, while those who are a little older tend to prefer the larger varieties and Roman candles. That's how they celebrate Christmas in El Salvador. Now, those are some of the unusual, or the your typical traditions. And you have your unusual traditions like Bad Santa, where, like I said, in Austria they have the Krampus kind of evil accomplice that the good versus evil kind of thing. Then in Ukraine they also do like a cobweb Christmas, which I've never heard of, but it is what it is. Like Ukraine, one of their favorite festival traditions is not one for those with a fear of creepy crawlies, and I'm not a friend or I have a fear of creepy crawlies, so they typically they'd have the bubbles, the tinsel, the stars, and Ukrainians use decorations that mimic the natural formation of spider webs shimmering with dew. And as nice as that may be, I don't think that I would like to see a really big spider web or cobweb while I'm trying to enjoy my Christmas holiday. But to each his own, along with with Japan, they like I said, they do the Kentucky for Christmas, so that's pretty unusual to me. It's just interesting. The pickle in the tree, that's not super unusual, especially because I know now, like through friends, that they put the pickle in the tree, and it's a really good tradition in order for you to find it, and then you're like the first one to open up a present, which is awesome. But it's very interesting that they would use a pickle. So in Germany, the Christmas tree tradition embraced around the world, because like I said, it's done here in America as well. It's that pickle in a tree was believed to start in the 16th century, like way back when, and it comes as no surprise that everyone is doing it, because it's simple. It's like, okay, you put a pickle in the tree and you kind of hide it amongst the ornaments, and whoever finds it gets to open up the first present. So I think that's a pretty simple and not unusual tradition. Then you have in Caracas the roller skate mass, which sounds awesome because I like to roller skate. So in the Venezuelan capital, swathes of city dwellers make their way to mass on roller skates. Can you imagine just like rolling into church? It's like, how's it hanging? You're rolling past your fellow neighbors. And the tradition is now so well established that many of the city's streets are closed to traffic from 8 a.m. so that the skating congregation can get to church safely. That is definitely unusual. Like, let's roller skate to mass. Roll on, bounce, roll, bounce to mass. You know what I mean? But it's something that is happening in Venezuela. So if you go to Venezuela and you're there for Christmas and you see some folks skating the mass, then you know what time it is. You know it's Christmas time. It's even said that the children will sleep with one lace from their skates tied around their toe, the other skate dangling from the window so that their friends can wake them up with a friendly tug of the lace. In Finland, the Finnish, they, like I said, this is kind of unusual that they go to a sauna to enjoy Christmas. But many homes in Finland come equipped with their own sauna. So, I definitely would love to go to F Finland if I'm going to get my own sauna. Anyway, and at Christmas time, this cozy spot becomes a sacred space associated with long dead ancestors. So that's interesting. I mean, when I think of that, like Finland, Mexico, I think of Coco, they have their traditions on the Day of the Dead with Mulan. I th thought of, where she goes to visit her ancestors at their like tomb hut thing kind of. So I get that, it's customary to strip, well, for the Finnish people on Christmas Eve, it's customary for them to strip naked and take a long respectful stint in the sauna, which is also believed to be home to the legendary sauna elf. So that's even more unusual that you're in there naked with some spiritual elf. Oh my goodness. Anyway, and after that session, the Finnish people, they head out to evening celebrations while spirits of their ancestors take place in the bubbling water. Yep, I would say that's unusual, but that's neither here nor there. So, it's their tradition, so that's pretty cool for them. In the Netherlands, there's shoes. You put shoes by the fire. So every year in the days leading up to the 25th of December, Dutch children eagerly place their shoes by the fire in hopes that Santa Claus will fill them with the small gifts. Like I was saying, treats in the night. Traditionally, carrots are left in the shoes for Santa Claus's faithful steed, a white horse named Armaggio. And in the olden days, naughty children will receive a potato in lieu of gifts. That potato, who knew? It's like you got a potato. If I think, like, y'all ever watch those Jimmy Fallon like sketches where he tells a parent, or Jimmy Kimmel, one of them, they're like, hey kids, parents, steal your kids' candy on Halloween and record it. Like, American children would go crazy if they woke up and found a potato as a Christmas present. Like, it's a potato. They would throw it. I could see it now. I could see it on AFV, America's Funniest Videos. They'll just be so pissed off that they got a potato. But this is a normal thing in other countries. Anyhow, but I mean, naughty children would receive a potato in lieu of gifts, but potato punishment is no longer considered an appropriate scare tactic. People in the Netherlands are not bothered by a potato. Unless it's a rotten potato, maybe they have more to say. Anyhow, in Italy, forget Santa on the 25th December, when in Italy, as all the action takes place on the eve of January 5th. According to folklore, an old woman named Bofana visits all the children of Italy to fill their stockings with candy and leave them presents if they've been good. Just like Father Christmas, Bofana enters their chimney and is left treats by the children who live there, typically wine and local delicacies. I don't know that a child would know exactly, like an American child would know exactly what kind of wine to give the Bofana witch, but that'd be pretty interesting. Like, if you told your child, like, hey, instead of Santa Claus coming, there's gonna be this like lady witch that's gonna come, and you can give her local delicacies and wine. What would that child do? Like, would they just be like, well, this looks like wine. Here you go. Oh, the things I'm learning. It's so crazy. So crazy. In Iceland, the Yule Cat, one of the more unique festival traditions we've heard from Iceland, where a giant cat is said to roam the snowy countryside at Christmas time. Traditionally, farmers would use the Yule Cat as an incentive for their workers. Those who worked hard would receive a new set of clothes, but those who didn't would be devoured by the gigantic cat-like beast. Today, it is customary for everyone in Iceland to get new clothing for Christmas to avoid an unsavory demise. Could you imagine being threatened by the idea of a giant cat-like beast coming to devour you because you didn't work hard enough? Wild. That is wild. Oh my gosh. The more you know, right? The more you know. All right, in South Africa, we talked a little bit about some food, but in South Africa, when you think of Christmas food, you think of maybe mince pies and turkey, maybe turkey. It's mostly ham. But those mince pies and turkey are high on the list, right? In South Africa, however, it's the creepy crawlies that local children look forward to. Festive fried caterpillars may seem like one of the more unusual Christmas traditions, but these caterpillars aren't just the run-of-the-mill variety you find in the garden. The pine tree emperor moth, or the Christmas caterpillar, is covered in very festive hues, giving all who swallow a little extra luck in the coming year. Ain't no way. Ain't no way I would ever subject myself to eat some fried caterpillar. I don't care how colorful it is. I don't care if it's got some festive hues. I don't care if it's called the Christmas caterpillar. Ain't no way I'm eating no caterpillar. Nope. 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 South Africa, you can have it. You can have it. No, thank you. Okay. Oh my goodness. Moving on. Norway. Norway, according to Norwegian folklore, another folklore, so another witch, okay? Christmas Eve is the day when mischievous spirits and witches take to the skies for mischief and general tomfoolery. You would think that these witches would spend most of their time on Halloween, but it's neither here nor there, as witches often use brooms as their preferred mode of transportation. That is not proven, by the way. I've never seen or heard of a actual person flying around on a broom. I think it's just all, tales of the hidden something. I don't know. Tales of the crypt. I don't know. Anyway, but so witches, right? It's tradition for Norwegian families to hide away any sweeping sticks where the witches won't be able to find them. So if they can't find no sticks, like they can't find no brooms to fly on, even though there's plenty of trees that they could use sticks for. I don't want to overanalyze it because it's like, nah, never mind. You know what I mean? Why even bother? All right, moving on to Sweden. Guess who is the go-to person in Sweden? Donald Duck. Would you imagine? Could you imagine? The video that they have, if you look up From All of Us to All of You, 1958, it shows Donald Duck and his friends wishing you a Merry Christmas. You can find that on YouTube. It's not very hard. Every Christmas, families around Sweden gather around the television at 3 p.m. sharp. Not 2 p.m., not 2:55, not 3:01, 3 p.m. sharp to watch Donald deliver his raspy message. Everything on Christmas is planned around the television special, and more than 40% of Sweden's population still tune in like clockwork. So if you are calling that buddy from Sweden and it's around 3 p.m., he ain't gonna answer the phone if he's a true, true Christmas person that likes Christmas in Sweden. I don't know. But just know at 3 p.m. sharp, don't mess with 40% of the Swedish population. The tradition dates back to the 1960s when televisions were a new commodity in Sweden, and only two channels aired, one of which played Disney cartoons at Christmas, And it may be a quirky tradition, but a whole nation coming together to watch Christmas cartoons together is about as festive as it gets. Which is true. I wouldn't mind watching some Christmas cartoons on Christmas Day. That sounds like a lot of fun. That way you could feel nostalgic and just enjoy the silliness of a cartoon. I've got two more of these unusual Christmas traditions, and then we'll close out. Did you think that all Christmas trees were created equal? Well, you are sadly mistaken. So, back to New Zealand, those kiwis are all about the beautiful tree that is native to New Zealand with gnarled roots and bright crimson flowers. The first mention of this tree, it's a Pohutukawa, came from Austrian geologist Ferdinand von Hochstetter in 1867. He described locals decorating their churches and homes with the brightly colored branches at Christmas. Today, that tree is a recognized symbol of Christmas around New Zealand and is featured on Christmas cards, decorations, and even the Christmas carols that children at school sing about. So there you go. And of course, again, the Yule goat in Sweden is unusual just because it's a goat and it dates back to at least the 11th century. It's like it, the, I think the folks like I was reading in the folks they it's probably the oldest tradition in on this list, to be honest, and it was the first one I on one of the first ones I talked about. But yeah, that Yule goat, where it mentions a man-sized goat figure and it's led by Saint Nicholas, who had the power to control the devil. There's a little bit more to it. The Yule goat, as you can imagine, it's changed a bit over the years. Obviously, in the 19th century, it was popular for young men to dress as the goat creature and run around pulling pranks and demanding gifts. And then by the 19th century, the goat became a good guy, a giver of gifts. Instead of Father Christmas, men in the family would dress up as the goat and give gifts to the entire family. And now today, the man goat is no longer, and the Yule goat has taken its place in modern history as a traditional Christmas ornament on trees throughout Sweden. In larger cities, giant versions of these goat ornaments are created out of straw and red ribbons. And there you have it, folks. Those are some traditions from around the world when it comes to Christmas. While Christmas may have started as a Christian holiday and is often still celebrated as such, people from all over the world have embraced the festive season and added their own traditions along the way. As for me and my house, I don't know. It depends on who I'm living with and how we see Christmas. Because for me, I see Christmas as having a tree with presents, making gingerbread houses, singing Christmas songs, sometimes Christmas carols. I don't go out into the world and sing We Wish You a Merry Christmas at everybody's house. No, I don't do that. I do commend the people that do it, but I don't do that. I go out and I look at lights on other people's houses because there's no other time that I would go and look at other people's houses. And they put it on for you to come and look, so why can't you go, right? So I do that. I go and I look at the Christmas tree at Rockefeller Center. I like to watch Christmas movies, however corny they may be, however repetitive they may be. I'm looking at you, Hallmark and Great American Family and Lifetime. Y'all all play the same trope. There's a rich girl or a working girl. She leaves the high and like fast-paced city to go to some little town that has only remembered her from her youth. And this guy's like, "Oh, I used to love you in high school." Or this guy is like, "Oh, I'm just a local whatever. I own this shop. I own this farm. I own this bakery. I own this castle." I will sit there and I will watch the movie, okay? because nothing brings me more joy during the Christmas holiday season than to see corny movies of how Christmas has changed everybody's life. You know what I mean? Those are my traditions. So I have to find someone that would enjoy those same traditions and bring in their own tradition, you know? Like, yeah, I'll put a pickle in my tree. I wouldn't mind that. Or, you know, putting or like not putting a star on top of the tree, but putting an angel like that. Those are different. Like, some people put angels, some people put stars, and some people have pink trees, and some people have colorful trees, and some people go out and get real trees, and some people get fake trees. Like, I grew up with a fake tree. I had one real tree once, and then I cut down my first tree a couple years ago and got a bad allergic reaction. And I'm telling you, I looked like Hitch from Hitch. Like, I looked like him, and I needed Benadryl. That's how bad it was. I didn't even realize I was allergic, but that's neither here nor there. What are some of your traditions? Are they unusual? Did you think that they were normal, and then someone was like, "What are you doing?" And you were like, "What? This is my tradition." You know, do you have a tradition of completely avoiding the holiday altogether because it's just a cash grab and you're like, "I don't want to do anything. I don't care about anything." Or are you one of those that need all of the Christmas joy and you want to spread it and do everything that's Christmas related? Where do you fall on that spectrum? Well, that's the episode, folks. I hope you enjoyed it. On the next episode of KD Time, we're gonna continue on this Christmas train, and we're gonna talk about the evolution of Christmas music from where it started to where it is now, where I can listen to, you know, popular music versions of classic songs. That's where we're going next time on KD Time. Once again, you can catch me on my socials at KD Time Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. You could go to my link tree. That's where you can find everything. If you want to be on the show and you want to talk about something in particular, hit me up. Fill out the form, send me an email, hit me up on Instagram. I'm very reachable, guys. I'm everywhere, okay? So you can always do that and just say, "Hey, I want to be on your show and I want to talk about this." And I'm gonna be like, "All right, let's do it. Let's find a time and talk about it and get it going." Okay? But that is the episode. You guys are the best. I hope you enjoyed it. Definitely share this with all your friends. Share this with Christmas, you know, fanatics. Share with people who would enjoy the Christmas knowledge of everything, of the traditions of the world. Okay? And as always, I will catch you on the next one. Do 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 do. Christmas on its way. Deuces.